Welcome to Dark History Time with Brian. A few things before we get started. Need to let you know that you might find some of this material disturbing. We do use adult language on the show. Listener discretion is advised.
Irregularly scheduled program. Had a hard time spitting it out the first go round, so we're going to try that one. But as you have noticed, no real regularity anymore to when I get these posted, or I should say when I get them recorded and Austin gets them posted real damn quick after I finally get them to him. Apologies as usual. I just have seemed to have motivational issues, and along with everyday stuff, not that that matters any. I've made the commitment to get you guys material, and I have failed in that for the last few months. With that said, I am going to cop out one more time with this episode and make it just your dates in infamy or dates in dark history for February. I have made a commitment to myself, and now I'm going to do it to you on the recording to hold myself accountable to get you a new podcast by the first week of March that will be on a serial killer, and may or may not throw you the March dates at that point in time. Might wait for another one to fit them in. We'll see how long it runs, but that is the plan as of now, and I want to put it out there to you guys so you can hold me to it. Want to say thank you also for sticking with it through all of this. Every episode is getting 50 plus listens, which doesn't sound like a lot, but to me it means the world. And we are now over 1100 total listens across our episodes, so I truly appreciate that. So without further ado, let's go ahead and hop into February, the dates in dark history for the month of February. We'll start right off with February 1, 2003. I actually watched this live on television. I remember seeing it, and there's not much I could say. 16 minutes before it was scheduled to land, the Space Shuttle Columbia broke apart in flight over West Texas, killing all 7 crew members. The accident may have resulted from damage caused during liftoff when a piece of insulating foam from the external fuel tank broke off, piercing a hole in the shuttle's left wing that allowed hot gases to penetrate the wing upon re-entry. This was the second Space Shuttle flight that was lost in flight. In January of 1986, the Challenger exploded during liftoff, another event that I believe I hit on last month that I also got to see, not live, but replays of on news when I was in junior high. Excuse me, sorry, I'm having some hard times getting my throat clear today. Don't worry, it's not the vid, I already had that. And I had it recently enough that I don't believe I can have it again just yet. Moving on, I'm going to lump it in as dark history because it is history, and it was kind of a culmination of a very rough time in history. February 4, 1861, Apache Chief Cochise was arrested in Arizona by the U.S. Army for raiding a ranch. He escaped and declared war, and that began the period known as the Apache Wars, which lasted 25 years. So I guess my apologies. I should have known a little bit better there. That wasn't the end of something, but kind of the beginning of the Apache Wars, which, like it says, went on for another 25 years and numerous engagements, atrocities on both sides, admittedly, took place during that time. February 9, 1943. In the Pacific Theater during World War II, U.S. troops captured Guadalcanal. I'm sure a lot of you have heard that name, maybe not known the significance, but on February 9, it was finally captured after 6 months of battle. There was 9,000 Japanese and 2,000 Americans were killed. It was, at this point in time, not that they didn't always, but the Japanese soldiers are fighting to the death. There is no surrender. And that made it tough, obviously, on both sides. Led to the larger numbers on the Japanese side because, I mean, it's an island. There's nowhere to go once you get backed up. That's that. So a little bit of forest fighting as well as them being dug in, and it led to, like I said, I mean, 6 months of the battle, fighting, in essence, foot by foot, trying to clear an island of a extremely determined opponent. Let's throw this out there. I don't know if I call it dark history, but definitely a learning experience, based on all their recent political turmoil. On February 12th, 1999, the impeachment trial of President Bill Clinton started, or excuse me, ended, my fault, ended. With the whole world watching, senators stood up one by one during the final roll call to vote guilty or not guilty. On Article 1, which charged Clinton with perjury, 55 senators, including 10 Republicans and all 45 Democrats, voted not guilty. On Article 2, which charged Clinton with obstruction of justice, the Senate split evenly, 54 and 50 against the president. With the necessary two-thirds majority not having been achieved, Clinton was thus acquitted on both charges and served out the remainder of his term, lasting through January 20th of 2001. I remember all that stuff, too. His was for sexual relations with an intern that he then lied about. But at the time, the Republicans were in their holier-than-thou religious zealousy that applies to everyone but themselves phase, and they had the power to bring about this impeachment trial, so that's what it was all about. Another interesting one on February 13th, 1945. I wish I could remember the name of the documentary that I watched for you guys on this. It might have just been the bombing of Dresden. I'm not sure. But during World War II, British and American planes began massive bombing raids on Dresden, Germany. A four-day firestorm erupted that was visible for 200 miles and engulfed the historic old city, killing an estimated 135,000 German civilians. The purpose of this bombing, basically, was to create that firestorm. They used incendiary devices, bombs that were particularly meant to start fires rather than the explosions doing most of the damage, and they basically just carpeted all of Dresden, and with prevailing winds, with the heat that was generated, it just continued, and that's a firestorm is. We use it, I think, a little bit liberally around its meanings, but that's truly what it meant, is it, much like a thunderstorm or any other heavy storm conditions, dictate what happens. February 14. I am sure you guys know where I'm headed with this one. 1929. St. Valentine's Massacre occurred in Chicago. Seven members of Bugs Moran's gang were gunned down in the SMC Cartage building, which was a front for them. And Capone has always gotten the blame for this. I don't think there's much doubt that he had a hand in it. He had lookouts posted at two buildings that looked at SMC Cartage. When who they thought was Bugs Moran came into the building, members of the group dressed as officers pulled up out front, went in. The people inside, of course, thought it was just a police bust. They were lined up against a wall and promptly shotgun and machine gun down. One gentleman survived. I should have done my better research to get you that correct name, but he survived long enough to make it to the hospital. Of course, was inquired upon by the police and hospital staff as to who perpetrated the crime, and said he wasn't going to give any of that up. And, of course, didn't, which led to all the speculation that we've had for all these years. I have visited this site on a number of occasions. It is now just a vacant lot next to an old folks' home. There are trees, some trees in the lot. Some people have said that they were planted in the approximate location of the wall that the folks were lined up against. I don't know that to be the case. But the buildings where the lookouts were posted are still there. It's very easy to see how great of vantage point they had. And it's overall cool to just be in the neighborhood. What surprised me is realizing how close it was to the Biograph Theater where John Dillinger was killed years later. still in the same general neighborhood. So I guess that just goes to show the age of that neighborhood in regards to some of the more famous incidences of public enemies, mobsters, gangsters, and things that went on in the city of Chicago. February 15th, 1898. Not a lot of talk about this one, I am sure, but something that bears mentioning in here. In Havana, the U.S. battleship Maine was blown up while at anchor and quickly sank with 260 crew members lost. The incident inflamed public opinion in the U.S., resulting in the declaration of war against Spain on April 25th, 1898. We've always heard the Spanish-American War. I admittedly don't know that much about it, but here we go. So there is that. Also on February 15th, 1933, this one will be interesting, and I'll tell you why. An assassination attempt on newly elected U.S. President Franklin Roosevelt occurred in Miami. A spectator deflected the gunman's aim, and as a result, Chicago Mayor Anton Cermak was shot and killed instead. The gunman, an Italian immigrant, was captured and later sentenced to death. The interesting part of that, in tying in with mob lore, is that the gunman was actually hired by Frank Nitti and the Chicago outfit to assassinate Cermak, not Roosevelt. So the official story, of course, has always been that the gunman's aim was deflected and it hit Cermak. There are those that believe Cermak was the intended target from the get-go. Another learning lesson for everybody when we talk about the no longer ongoing war in Afghanistan and how long we were there and what was it worth, falls in line with us not learning our lessons. We didn't learn after Korea, we didn't learn after Vietnam. So we continue to do the same thing over and over again. On February 15th, 1989, not that long ago, Soviet Russia completed its military withdrawal from Afghanistan after 9 years of unsuccessful involvement in a civil war between Muslim rebel groups and Russian-backed Afghan government. Over 15,000 Russian soldiers had been killed in the fighting. If you think about that and apply American, it is damn near an exact replay. At that time, we were backing those rebel groups being led by Osama bin Laden, provided arms and training, because we wanted to stop the Ruskies from expanding their empire. And Russia, of course, they backed the Afghan government. Well, you just flip the script just a little bit. Now, we are going after Osama bin Laden, the person that we armed and trained, because he ultimately proved to be the type of person that he was, that we probably should have known he could be, and got ourselves bogged down in Afghanistan for forever. So, there again, not a lesson we learn easily, and one we will probably forget in the next 40 years and find ourselves in that situation yet again, if not before then, with the new ongoing Russian and Ukraine issues and our involvement there. February 17th, 1909, Apache Chief Geronimo died while in captivity at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. He had led a small group of warriors on raids throughout Arizona and New Mexico. He was caught once and he escaped. The army recaptured him when they sent 5,000 men to do so. Another moment that American history definitely glosses over that you don't want to hear about, or I don't know, maybe you do, that's why you're probably listening to the podcast. I'm sorry I've gotten very political on this podcast, but it just seems to be the last 5 or 6 years that we've gone through, maybe even more, what we continue to hear and go through with the rising of the idea of censoring books and burning books and all these politicians that don't understand what Nazism and what Hitler and the Holocaust were all about, continue to throw those out very glibly without understanding the impact and clearly not knowing their history. It fires me up. So here's a part that we like to gloss over that I'm sure the parents or whoever thinks they're in charge of the school board definitely wouldn't want taught. On February 19th, 1942, internment of Japanese Americans begins after President Franklin Roosevelt issued an executive order requiring that those living on the Pacific Coast report for relocation. Over 110,000 persons therefore shut down their businesses, sold off their property, quit school, and moved inland to the relocation centers. That would be camps, folks. Clearly not concentration camps. Clearly not work camps. But nonetheless, centers set up for us to put Japanese Americans in case they were planning anything to help with an invasion from California across, whatever our thinking was, xenophobia and politics of the time that have clearly continued, deemed it necessary in their mind to round all these people up and put them in camps. So yes, we had camps in America. Like I said, admittedly, not with the purpose of the camps in Europe, but we did have camps here, and we did make people report to them. February 21, 1965, I'd like to delve deeper into this at some point in time, but on February 21st, 1965, former black Muslim leader Malcolm X is gunned down and killed while delivering a speech in a ballroom in New York City. I cannot recommend enough the film Malcolm X by Spike Lee. A lot of people have issues with Spike Lee himself, his personality, his politics, whatever the case may be, but I don't think anyone can argue his filmmaking ability and the power of his films. This one was done very well. It did stir up some controversy when it came out. I remember this well because he made a statement urging all African-American children to skip school that day to go see the film. Said it was more important than whatever they were going to learn in school that day. I don't necessarily disagree with that part, but you're obviously going to stir up some issues when you tell people to skip school and just to see your movie. That's how a lot of people saw it, was just, you know, promoting himself. So there was that. Interesting little side note that I don't recall if I ever knew this at one point in time or not, but February 23rd, 1942, during World War II, the first attack on the U.S. mainland occurred as a Japanese submarine shelled an oil refinery near Santa Barbara, California, and it caused minor damage. Some of you may know about hearing about Nazi submarines and the New York Harbor, things of that nature. This one actually shelled us for out in California. Luckily, just minor damage, but they did reach us. February 23rd, also, 1991. Desert Storm, the Allied ground offensive began after a devastating month-long air campaign targeting Iraqi troops in both Iraq and Kuwait. So there you go. I think at the time, prior to that, it was been Desert Shield once we started going offensive and got on the ground. Its name changed to Desert Storm. Another impeachment deal. February 24th, 1867, the House of Representatives voted to impeach President Andrew Johnson. The vote followed bitter opposition by the radical Republicans in Congress toward Johnson's Reconstruction policies in the South. However, the effort to remove him failed in the Senate by just one vote. So they didn't get to impeachment hearings. In case people wonder where some of this came from, here's your beginning right here. As far as February 26, 1848, the Communist Manifesto pamphlet was published by two young socialists, Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels. It advocated the abolition of all private property and a system in which workers own all means of production, land, factories, and machinery. Check that out. Educate yourself as to what socialism means. That's another one that's been thrown around a ton lately, with people cherry picking what definitions they choose to land-based and which ones they choose to accept. And much like every other important book that's out there, people cherry pick the parts they want for their own purposes. When we talk about socialism, like it says, abolition of all private property. That's what all your rich folks that holler and scream about socialism are worried about. Workers owning all means of production, land, factories, and machinery. That's the part that a lot of people seemingly embrace those parts of it, but you can't say you embrace that because then you're listed as a socialist and socialism is bad. Yada, yada, yada. If you're paying taxes to your municipality, you are supporting a form of socialism. That might get me cooked on a few things, but that's just the... That's the bare bones facts, folks. Police, fire, plowing the roads, maintaining the roads, things of that nature fall under that umbrella, whether you like it or not. February 27th, 1991, in Desert Storm, the 100-hour ground war ended as Allied troops entered Kuwait just 4 days after launching their offensive against Saddam Hussein's Iraqi forces. I did skip over a date or two that I had forgotten about. Let me get back to those before I conclude the month here. February 15th, Randy Woodfield, he was the I-5 killer, raped and shot his last victim in 1981. On the 24th, in 1994, police searched the garden of Rosemary and Fred West. If you're not familiar with those two, familiarize yourself, but be warned, it is graphic, it involves children. And these two were just gigantic pieces of shit. And February 25th, 2005, Dennis Rader, the BTK strangler, was arrested while driving home in Park City, Kansas, a suburb of Wichita, a place which I have been numerous times. See the lay of the land, visit locations where his crimes took place. On the most recent trip, they were doing a little bit of road work in that area right where his house used to be. It was torn down. Land was given to the city. They said they were going to build a park there, or an entrance to the park, excuse me, that's behind there. Up to this point, it has never been done. I don't know if that's what they were starting to do there because they had dug away some of the curb like they were going to make it possibly a parking lot. But nonetheless, since there was all that construction there, I did take the opportunity to bag up about a gallon bag worth of dirt from the property that used to be his residence. Just my own little memento. I have started doing that with the places I go. Just try to find a piece without destroying anything. Try to find a piece to take with me to add to my collection. Think of that what you will. So those things occurred. And then rounding out the month, we have February 28th, 1844, during a demonstration of naval firepower, one of the guns aboard the USS Princeton exploded, killing several top U.S. government officials on the steamership, narrowly miskilling President John Tyler. So, yeah, I don't know what to make of that. I mean, showing how big and bad we were and nearly cost us the president. 1994, February 28th. NATO conducted its first combat action in its 45-year history as four Bosnian Serb jets were shot down by American fighters in a no-fly zone. That's another part in history that folks my age will remember. I mean, that's 94, 3 years after I graduated high school. The Bosnian issues at the time, the racial cleansing, I believe, is when that came into our lexicon where we... It became a thing to say, know, and understand. Clearly, it had been going on for hundreds of years, but in modern times, the racial cleansing, that's part of what's going on in China now as well, which was a lot of people's opposition to the Olympics being held there. Clearly, that's what Nazi Germany tried to implement, but that was as early as 94, and it continues to happen now. So... I've turned this into damn near a half hour. Austin, I know there will be some cuts. I hope I left enough pauses in between there. Kind of stumbled through this one. Kind of shitty. And I nearly forgot. Let me give you another pause so we can get on to this one. You may have noticed what I've done the last couple months is find an interesting little, maybe comic relief type of case to set off everything that we've talked about. So got one of those for February as well, once again from the Page a Day calendar. The icy winter in central Maine is not the ideal backdrop for a bank robbery. On February 12, 2019, Jason McEnroe learned this the hard way when he tried to make his getaway after robbing more than $10,000 from the Bangor Savings Bank in the small city of Waterville. McEnroe made it across four lanes of traffic and a parking lot on foot before he slipped on an icy patch and dropped both the stolen gun and the BB gun that he used to commit the crime. A gust of wind sent the money flying, and the scene all unfolded in front of a state special agent, Glenn Lanning, Lang, sitting in his car. Lang, who suspected something was awry when he saw the money dancing around, leapt out of his car and arrested McEnroe on the spot. McEnroe pleaded guilty to robbery and theft and was sentenced to 5 years in prison. So, there's our little comic relief at the end. Don't rob a bank in Maine in February. You're probably going to fall on the ice and shit's going to go south. So that's where I leave you guys. Like I said, I endeavor to get a damn podcast episode that's about a serial killer done by the first week of March and published for you guys. I was kicking around in my head who that was going to be on because I wanted it to be somebody that was a little lesser known. I had three that were spinning around in my head. I think I finally landed on one that is has a lot of elements. It's mental health. It's graphic. It is gut-wrenching. It will make you shake your head. There won't be any way around the fact that it is going to be very graphic and involve victims. No other way to say it. Child victims. So be prepared for that. The standard listener discretion advised will play before that, but I will probably also start that episode by saying, hey, if you can't handle hearing about grotesque things happening to small children, then you probably don't want to listen to this episode. I may, for folks that really follow this stuff, I may have just given away who it was, but maybe not. We'll see. There's been a lot of bad guys that have done things to kids, so might still have you guessing. But anyway, with that, I say thanks again for listening. Apologize for the last month and a half or two with no real case material for you. I'm going to change that. We're going to get it back underway, guys. So thanks again. Appreciate all of you. Have a good rest of the February, and we'll talk to you here first week of March. Bye.